1290 WJNL.
From the Club Raymond Motor Cars Studio, you're listening to News Radio 1290 WJNO, an iHeartRadio station.
The thoughts and opinions expressed are those of the sponsors and don't necessarily reflect those of this station or iHeartMedia.
This is the Family Center for Recovery show. Join us now to learn ways to begin the path to recovery. The Family Center for Recovery treats patients that most centers don't. Learn more at FCFRMD.com. That's FCFRMD.com.
Well, here we are, Sunday afternoon. You know what that is. It's time for the Family Center for Recovery show. And I am your host, Peter Nathan. With me today in the studio, I've got some very special guests. As you're well aware, if you've listened to the show, that we've mentioned medical students that come over to the facility to learn from Dr. Moran. And that's who is in the studio today, three students. They're studying to be physician assistants. And what I'd like to do is we'll introduce Samantha, Michelle, and Kevin. Could you please tell us a little bit about yourselves and studying and things along those lines? Samantha.
Hi there. I'm Samantha Horan. I'm from Indiana. I go to Butler University for grad school. I also did my undergrad there. Right now I'm doing my rotations. We have 11 months of rotations, so I will be graduating next May with my master's degree.
Excellent. Well, thank you for joining us in the studio. Welcome to the show. And yeah, Michelle, please tell us a little bit about yourself.
My name is Michelle Martin. I'm originally from Chicago, Illinois, and I also attend Butler University for PA school. I went there for undergrad, and my degree was in health sciences. And in May, I'll graduate with a master's in physician assistant studies.
Excellent. Well, welcome to the show. And Kevin, can you please tell for our listeners a little bit about yourself?
Sure. I'm Kevin Griffin. I'm originally from down here in South Florida in Fort Lauderdale. I went to the University of Florida for undergrad, and now I'm getting my degree to become a physician assistant in Nashville, Tennessee. And this is my first rotation down here in South Florida.
Excellent. Well, thank you for joining us and being a part of the team over at Family Center for Recovery. So if you're listening, one of the things common, these are medical. So we're going to find a little bit more about as far as what their aspirations and what they're looking to do and what they're learning over at Family Center from Dr. Moran. So, yeah, who'd like to tell us a little bit about what their future holds and what they'd like to do? So,
I can start. I actually have no idea what I want to specialize in. I still have plenty of time to decide, so that's great. But I wanted to share something that my preceptor last month told me. I was working in the ER, and I was telling him about my reservations about doing a psych rotation. I didn't know how I would feel about it. It's a lot to learn, and so I was a little hesitant about it. And he mentioned that no matter what field I go into, psych is something that I'm going to have to know. In the ER, we had psych patients come in every day. In family medicine, you see depression and anxiety all the time. Even people that are in orthopedics, you have to know about addiction because that's always a risk when you're giving someone pain medication. So he made me aware of the fact that even if I don't end up doing psychology, this is such an important rotation no matter what field I end up in.
Excellent. Your thoughts, Michelle?
I am also not 100% sure where I'll end up after I graduate, but Samantha put it wonderfully that mental health touches all aspects of medical care, whether it's in women's health, orthopedics, like she mentioned. We have to think about our patients and how the way we practice is going to treat them wholesomely, mentally and physically.
Yes. Kevin, your thoughts?
Basically the same as Sam over there. I think I have a lot of experience working in the emergency room before going to PA school, and I think that is where I may want to end up after school. And we see psych patients all the time because a lot of times when something happens that could be a presenting symptom of a psychiatric illness, the first place they go is into the ER. So it's definitely important to learn as much as we can while we're on this rotation, regardless of whether we go into psychiatry as a specialty or not, just so that we can bring all that knowledge into whatever it is that we do decide to do.
Yeah, I think that, I know we're talking the other day. We talk about things as far as mental health and conditions and things along those lines. I think that the common misperception is schizophrenia, but actually there's a lot of other things that we're really need to be aware of. And, you know, you're a future physician assistant. So, yeah, what are some of the things that you've maybe learned over at Family Center with Dr. Moran and mental health and things along those lines?
Well, I think that one thing that's really unique for us in this experience, we travel a long way to... it was a 17-hour car ride, so yeah. We went a long way to get down here. And at first, you arrive, and you're like, why in the world did I come all the way here for a mental health rotation? But we are so lucky to be able to do our psych rotation at FCFR because we get exposed to truly everything. We have patients that have anxiety, have depression. We have patients that struggle with addiction. And then we do have the more severe mental illnesses like bipolar disorder and schizophrenia. And we are really lucky to be able to be exposed to all aspects of mental health there, where a lot of times coming from Indiana, there wasn't a whole lot of opportunity to get a psych rotation that really showed us everything that we needed to know. And we have to take an exam at the end of the month, and I feel like if I would have stayed in Indiana to do my psych rotation, it would have been a lot of outside studying to get every aspect. But we are so lucky to be with Dr. Moran and to get to see a little bit of everything. They really cover it all there.
I definitely can relate to that. You think that mental illness could be something solved by taking an antidepressant or some other medication, but it's really not a one-stop shop when it comes to treating mental health. And I think at Family Center for Recovery, they really take that into consideration with cognitive behavioral therapy and different types of group therapies that kind of treat the whole mind and spirit. But I think that we do pay a lot of attention to the physicality of it as well. And, yeah, a lot less studying.
Yeah. Kevin, your thoughts as we're talking.
I agree completely. And one thing that I think is so helpful for us to learn, especially on this rotation, is about specifically addictions. Because I think when you think of learning about psychiatry, you think about learning all the psychiatric illnesses, their treatments, all the pills you can take, what the other possible treatments are with like cognitive behavioral therapy, whatever. But one thing that's not always necessarily harped on is what exactly an addiction is and how it can sort of unroot an underlying mental illness. And we see that a lot. We see it every day where someone thinks that they're coming into the facility just because they overdosed on this or that. But then we find out that really the symptoms that they experienced were because it just exacerbated something that they already had. So it's huge to learn how to treat not just an addiction, but also treat it so that they have kind of like this mentally stable future where they know not to fall into that addiction again.
I think that's a really good point, Kevin. I think that something else that we're really lucky to be exposed to at Dr. Moran and FCFR is he really, when we're in school, of course, we have a psych class, we do, but it doesn't spend a whole lot of time on addiction. And I think that we're, of course, taught the mental illnesses and we, I guess, touch on addiction, but I don't think that we're truly exposed to how severe it is and that it's a lifelong illness and that it changes the brain. And it's something that needs to be treated like a lifelong illness. And we weren't taught that as much as I think is necessary during our didactic years. So I think being at FCFR, we're really exposed to that and we get a much better understanding of addiction, where I think being down here and seeing it firsthand is a much better way to learn about it than we were able to in the classroom.
I totally kind of agree with that because we don't see addiction the way Dr. Moran sees it. He talks all about how the brain works and how when you become addicted to something, the brain changes. And we're usually tested on what someone looks like when they're intoxicated from a certain substance. And I have yet to see that while here, but I mean, that's not something that we talk about, how the brain works and how that reward pathway that the brain creates when one misuses drugs kind of changes the way they function in life. And so at FCFR, Dr. Moran makes it a point to change the way the brain works and so that they can live independent lives and be contributing to society.
Yeah, those are all excellent insights and valuable to our listeners. Something that I've noticed when I've been over at Family Center is there's a lot of engagement as far as physician assistant students and being actively involved. And Kevin, your thoughts as far as the engagement and the program that Dr. Moran offers?
How he engages us or how he engages the patients?
Engages you as a physician assistant student with the patients and things along those lines. How do you feel about that?
I love it. It's completely kind of, if I could equate my first day or two to something, it'd be kind of like pushing someone into a pool to learn how to swim. But really that's, I think, how we have to learn. We have all this nice cushioning around us while we're in school of like, oh, you can fall back on this, or it's okay if you're wrong on this, as long as you learn it. But now it's really like we're seeing these patients in real life. We're seeing what these illnesses look like. We're seeing what the treatments look like. And we really have to do our due diligence to meet with them every single day, talk to them, figure out exactly what their side effects are, how they're feeling, and then bring that back to Dr. Moran so that we can discuss it further and see if any changes need to be made. But I think he puts us on the front lines for sure.
It's like, you make it sound like a battle, but
sometimes it feels like one.
But it's like a great point. Dr. Moran he has high expectations for us, and it's a little overwhelming at first, but I feel like all of us rise to the occasion to learn treatment plans and follow up on blood work and certain meetings that patients have to be in. And he works on us with us one-on-one so that, you know, we can understand what we're doing and what the patient's needs are.
I think that one thing I really love about this rotation is Dr. Moran obviously gets a lot of benefit from having us as med students. Patients often, I work with the adolescent patients, and especially with the adolescent patients, they're much more open with us than they are with Dr. Moran or with their therapist. I don't know if it's, at times they are, I suppose they aren't always, but sometimes they're willing to tell us things that they wouldn't necessarily tell everyone. And I think that's a benefit because Dr. Moran is able to get a better understanding of the patients as a whole when he has all these different aspects to choose from. But I also think that from him getting the benefit of having us as med students, we get just as much benefit being down here. We're able to learn from him as much as we can also help the patients and help him through understanding the patients well.
Yeah, and there's that comfort level as far as adolescents. I mean, we're talking as far as age, but we're also talking as far as different and things along those lines that are very helpful. So if you've just tuned in, you've been listening to the Family Center for Recovery show, and I am your host, Peter Nathan. And with us today, we've got very special guests. They are physician assistants, Samantha, Michelle, and Kevin. They're doing the rotation here at Family Center. They've traveled from as far as Indiana, and Kevin from Fort Lauderdale. And they're learning as far as Dr. Moran and from other staff members over at Family Center. So we're going to be going to a short commercial message, and we're going to be right back, and we'll be talking a little bit further about what they've learned and programs and things at Family Center. Thanks for joining us. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Family Center for Recovery show. Find out more about the Family Center for Recovery on facebook.com/Family Center for Recovery. The Family Center for Recovery treats patients that most centers don't. We'll be right back.
At the Family Center for Recovery in Lantana, they treat little problems before they become big problems. Unfortunately, 98% of treatment centers won't treat teens because they think it's too difficult or not profitable enough. Whether your teen is struggling with behavior issues, substance abuse, or mental illness, they believe every kid deserves a chance. Contact Family Center for Recovery or go to FCFRMD.com. That's FCFRMD.com. Family Center for Recovery. Before little problems become big problems.
As a teacher, having a foster grandparent in my room, it enables me to have an extra set of hands.
Foster grandparents are role models, tutors, and friends to children with exceptional needs.
It's been fantastic having Grandma Freddie in our room.
It is the best feeling in the world.
I'm a best student because of her.
To learn more about how to become a foster grandparent and help children in need, call 1-800-942-2677 or visit SeniorCorps at nationalservice.gov.
Are you looking for a new career path? Want to make a difference in your community? Become a teacher. The American Board can help you earn a teaching certificate and a Florida teaching license in a year or less. American Board's online program allows you to set your own schedule for a price that fits your budget. Visit www.americanboard.org. That's americanboard.org for more information on how you can become a Florida teacher.
Welcome back to the Family Center for Recovery radio show. If you wish to share this broadcast with a friend, you'll find the link at the Family Center for Recovery's website, fcfrmd.com. That's fcfrmd.com.
We are back, and thank you for joining us on this Sunday afternoon and making us a part of your day, wherever that may be. Picnic, out for a drive with the family, or just doing some chores around the house. You're tuned into the Family Center for Recovery show, and I'm your host, Peter Nathan. And with me today, very special guests, physician assistant students, Samantha, Michelle, and Kevin. There's a lot of really cool things. One of the things I've noticed is the conference room and a lot of laptops and a lot of talking on iPhones and treatment team. So we're doing individualized. And yeah, could you maybe fill in for our listeners a little bit about what treatment team is and how all that works?
Yeah, so a little bit earlier I was talking about how, or we all were talking about, I guess, how we go and meet with the patients and talk to them, and they may sort of open up a little bit more one-on-one rather than what they might talk about in community. And then what we do is we then bring all that information into a treatment team alongside Dr. Moran, the therapist, anyone else who works in the building who has anything that they can contribute. And we just sort of, I guess, combine all of our information together, talk about plans for the patients and what the best option for them might be. We also have the option of advocating for our patients so that if we think that they are ready to drop down a level of care and become a little bit more independent, we can definitely say that. But Dr. Moran's always there to offer his opinion and his insight, and ultimately the final decision is his. But he really takes everyone's feedback into account when making a big decision like that. And we kind of just go around the table and each person talks about their patients and figures out what the next best step is.
So level of care.
Yeah.
How does that, I mean, I know there's some listeners that go, what is a level of care and drop down and what is all, how does that work? Yeah.
So the whole goal for SCFR is to get patients to be able to live an independent life. And so we kind of go in a stepwise fashion to slowly give them more responsibilities, kind of see how they react to the real world, see if they have triggers that they have unhealthy behaviors that they give into. So we like to monitor that in this kind of structured way. So we have patients come in originally, they'll be in residential care, or if they're detoxing, we'll have them in detox, so they're 24-hour medical care. And so once we decide they no longer need the 24-hour medical care, they go to a partial hospital facility, and we call it PHP. They live in transitional living. They go to the grocery store and buy their own food. But they're always, they're 24-hour monitored by one of our coordinators. So then once they drop down in level of care, they go to intensive outpatient. So we get them to get a job and to start paying their own rent. And they have more access to the real world. And there's four levels. Level one, they get their job. Level two is kind of a transition to level three, where they get a cell phone. And then level four, they basically have complete control of their life. They can have a car, and as long as they're up to date on their rent, we can decide whether or not they're good to live on their own.
Excellent. What are some of the other things that we talk about in treatment team, Samantha?
So treatment team is actually our opportunity to, for one, we get, this is our chance to learn from Dr. Moran. We go through and we each talk about patients. We all have our own set of patients every day. Right now, I think we each have about 6 or 7, and we go around and anything you need to talk about, labs, medications, if they do need to change a level of care. This is a really Dr. Moran's time to shine with where he educates us. We learn about medications at this time. We get grilled every once in a while, and it's really a good way for us to learn. I think that it's a great opportunity for the patient to get excellent care, because during this time, the doctor, the therapist, and the student that all see this patient every single day get to put their input in on the patient's care. So I really feel like the patients are lucky to have this set up, because they have 3 people that are all able to put their input in and discuss the patient's care and develop it for that patient so that they have the best care that they can have.
That is probably something that a lot of our listeners right now, that's an awakening. That's enlightening. Treatment facility, discussing things like medications, prescriptions, things along those lines. I mean, my goodness. And that is, so your thoughts, Kevin, as far as some of the things, other things that we talk about in treatment team.
I mean, like Sam said, it is a huge learning experience for us, because it really puts us to the test on, do we know what side effects happen with these drugs? Do we know how the drug works? Do we know what neurotransmitter it's working on? And sometimes we don't. And we definitely do learn, because I think once you learn it in that setting in that way, it's a lot different than reading it on a PowerPoint or getting lectured it a few years ago in undergrad, or then again in PA school. And it just really solidifies that for us. I think it's also powerful to see a lot of people from different specialties who have different roles inside the building working together. And as you can imagine, anytime people are working together, there may be a disagreement about what the treatment plan is, but that's the perfect opportunity to say, you know, I saw this in my patient and I think they should move to this level of care, whereas someone may say, you know, I saw this and I don't know if they're ready. And it's always a healthy discussion, and it's always patient-centered, and it always, in my opinion, results in the best ultimate decision about the level of care for that patient.
Excellent. If you've just tuned in, you've tuned in to the Family Center for Recovery Show, and I am your host, Peter Nathan. With this week, we have physician assistant students that are learning from Dr. Moran. We have Samantha, Michelle, and Kevin. And right now, we're talking about treatment team. The neat thing that I've noticed is Dr. Moran, the safety net. He is always there as far as to offer and be a part of. But it's also enlightening to see that the students are given that opportunity to learn and have a voice and things along those lines. So other things, as far as I know that treatment teams act extremely integral part. Community was mentioned earlier. What? How? I mean, community, how does that work? I know we've talked about it on other shows, but if somebody's just tuning in for the first time this week, who wants to maybe pick up on community, chime in on about it?
I can talk about community. I remember my first day I walked in and I was like, what in the world am I getting myself into? It's absolutely crazy the first time you see it. But as you spend time there, you realize that it's one of the most important parts of FCFR. It is so helpful, and it's amazing to watch patients interact with each other. You learn so much about the patients during that time. The patients are able to offer advice to each other, and they also, I think, during this time, have to be accountable for themselves and for each other. When they are at the transitional living, we don't know every single thing that ever happens, and this is really where patients are able to discuss any issues, anything that they see happening that they think needs to be addressed in the community setting. And I think it's a great opportunity for us to learn so much more about the patients, for the patients to encourage each other. I love it, and I think it's one of the most important parts of our day.
I think it really promotes like a healthy dialogue, not only between the patients and the other patients, but us and the patients, us and Dr. Moran. It really, when we say community, it's the whole community at FCFR comes in and we talk about what's going on. I think it's also wonderful for patients to hear that they're not alone in their struggles. You know, not everyone can be perfect all the time, and there's going to be slip-ups, and we're going to talk about it. And they're going to find the support from their peers to move on and continue with their treatment at FCFR.
I think that's a really good point. And something that you mentioned was the communication. I think that one of the struggles that a lot of people come in with that may seem insignificant is a communication barrier and an issue where a lot of these people haven't ever learned how to help, like, communicate in a healthy way. And I think that that is such an excellent opportunity to teach the patients how to confront each other, how to confront their own issues in a healthy manner. And community really does require that patients learn these communication skills, that when they do move out of the FCFR, they have to apply those to their lives and use them when they're interacting with other people.
Shining, somebody mentioned this the other day. They call community the shining
star.
Yeah.
I think you're right.
Yeah, I guess that's true. I mean, it almost doesn't test the patients, but we see how their impulse control is. Are they waiting for someone to be done talking, or are they just interject? Or are they able to communicate with their words and not feel like they have to use physical motives to get their point across? It's a very healthy environment, and it's a safe space that everyone can really just talk about what they need to talk about. Or if they're having struggles, they can let everybody know.
It's also so useful for two different reasons, I think. One is that it really holds patients accountable in that they're not getting out of there easily. For example, they may talk to one of us one-on-one and be like, yeah, I had a great day yesterday and last night. It was totally fine. I just went back to my room and was peaceful and calm. And then we get to community and one of the other patients is like, so can we talk about so-and-so blowing up yesterday and whatever? And we're all like, whoa, like holding each other accountable. I think that's so great because then it allows us to really talk about things without kind of getting any of that smoke and mirrors. But at the same time, it also, patients help each other so much in a way that maybe we're not able to all the time. If a patient is really struggling with addiction or having cravings for like some kind of opioid that they used to be addicted to or heroin or something, we can do everything we can to talk to them about that addiction and help them out. But we can't necessarily relate to that all the time because we've never been in that position, whereas another one of our patients maybe has and can give them all the advice that they need
maybe
to
coping.
Deal with that situation. Yeah, completely.
Yeah, it's an excellent point. That's peer-to-peer when you have something like that. And
right.
You really have somebody else who really, I would call it, so to speak, as far as has their back. They're watching out for them, knowing that there's somebody there to help them and work with them. The neat thing about community starts at what time?
8:30.
And I'll tell you, I've sat in and we're talking goes till 11:30, 12, as long as it needs to.
It goes until the air has been cleared and everyone has gotten everything they need to talk about out. But it's a good opportunity. We also, Kevin and I, we do the adolescent community as well. So we actually spend 8:30 to 12:30 usually, some days 11:30, in community, adult community and then adolescent community. So it's a big chunk of our day, but it's well worth spending so much time in it. It really does benefit the patients in a really important way.
And I know that Family Weekend, which we'll be talking about in our next segment, community, there's family members are involved. Family's an active part of treatment. Who would like to maybe preview a little bit about, before we go to commercial break, about Family Weekend and family in general?
It's a really big version of community with a lot of families involved. I think it's probably the most important part of what we do at FCFR.
I think that makes FCFR so unique. Dr. Moran has really high expectations, not only for the patients, but for the patients' families. He doesn't just work on the patient. He works on everything that involves the patient, their home life, their setting. So it's really special to have that.
Excellent. With that, we will be back after this short commercial message. Thanks for joining us, and we'll be back shortly.
The
Family Center for Recovery is the only facility in Florida owned and operated by an addiction psychiatrist, Dr. Robert Moran, and he's dedicated his life to helping the people no one else will. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
The Family Center for Recovery in Lantana is the only treatment center in Florida owned and operated by a triple board certified psychiatrist. This means the Family Center for Recovery does treatment the right way. They treat substance abuse, depression, bipolar disorder, OCD, anxiety, teens and adults at all levels of inpatient care. Check out the innovative, life-changing treatment the Family Center for Recovery in Lantana has to offer at FCFRMD.com. That's FCFRMD.com.
Premature birth is the number one killer of babies. Those who survive often face birth defects and complications that affect them for life. For hundreds of thousands of families in the United States, this is the hardest thing they will ever have to face. And it's even harder on the baby. March of Dimes is providing education and support to families and funding life-saving research to give every baby a fighting chance. You can help. Do something today. Give them tomorrow at marchofdimes.org/tomorrow.
Water. You rely on it daily, but what do you really know about it? There is so much more to H2O than you realize. Did you know that tap water provides us with a low-cost way to stay hydrated, public health and fire protection, and nearly every product that we use every day? The more you know about your H2O, the more there is to love. To learn more, visit drinktap.org. This message is brought to you by the American Water Works Association and your local water provider.
This is the Family Center for Recovery show. The Family Center for Recovery treats patients that other centers don't, including teens, expectant mothers, patients with mental health issues, or needing a medical detox. Call 855-202-4220.
Here we are. We are back. You've tuned in to the Family Center for Recovery show, and I'm your host, Peter Nathan, and with me this week, very special guest, physician assistant students that are learning from Dr. Moran and the other members of his staff over at Family Center. It's Samantha, Michelle, and Kevin. And family weekend. We just had family weekend. I know it's a big deal. And there's hours of time and preparation that go into it. Thoughts about family weekend and family in general as far as the treatment.
Family fun.
It was a really interesting experience. We had someone tell us as we arrived to family weekend that it would give you a lot of insight into the patient when you get to see their family unit, and I think that was definitely true. You start to realize that it's important for the families to be healthy. Michelle actually mentioned to me afterwards that it was obvious that the healthier the family, the healthier the patient. So it's really special with FCFR that they do focus on the family. We spent Friday night at a lecture. It was a 9-hour lecture, but as I mentioned to some of the other students, I think I learned more in that lecture than I did in my entire semester in a psych class. Dr. Moran really does. He's a really excellent teacher, and he focused on all the different diseases and everything that is involved, including the brain. And we were able to learn so much, and I think it's important for the families to be just as educated about the illnesses that their loved ones suffer from. And it's really special that he takes that time to educate the families.
I think it's so beneficial for the families to actually be educated in what their family member is going through. They might not fully understand the gravity of the situation, or that, you know, the addiction that they're having is because of the way their brain is functioning. And it's not always an easy fix. And it really just takes time. We assess it every day if someone's environment is likely to impede recovery or if their relapse is imminent from their surroundings. And so Dr. Moran, by having family weekend, makes sure that they're supported by a healthy group of individuals that will keep them on the road for recovery once they're done and completed with their treatment at FCFR.
The thing I've noticed about family weekend is the interaction of the other parents, realizing that they're not alone, and that there are other families that are going through the same thing. And Kevin, your thoughts as far as families helping other families and things along those lines?
Well, I mean, talk about accountability and the patient community that we see every day. We see the same thing in the larger community setting that we see with the family members, there's just a lot of families that think what they're doing is best for their family member or patient, without realizing that they may be just feeding into the patient's issues or their addiction. And I get that. I feel like if I were in that position with them, I'd be doing the same thing. I'd be doing everything I can to help my family member, especially no one wants to see their loved ones struggle. But I think something that a lot of our family members learn at Family Weekend is sometimes you just really have to let go a little bit and trust the process, trust the system, trust Dr. Moran. And when they're kind of really holding on there tight, it's good for other family members who have been through this before to sort of just step in and say, listen, I get it. I was there. I was the person who was doing all of this a year ago, and then I finally learned how I need to treat my family member, and the progress they've made since then is just, like, you can't compare it to anything else. And I think hearing that from other family members rather than just hearing it from us is just so beneficial to them.
I
think that it's really special that Dr. Moran does have the family weekends a few times a year. I think that these families are going through something that's unimaginable for people that have never been through that. We don't know what it's like to have a loved one struggling with these things, and it's really nice that the families get to rely on each other. They get to talk about their problems. We joked because the term GroupMe was brought up 50 million times that weekend, but I think it's amazing that they do have a way to communicate with other families, and parents can communicate with other parents. Siblings can get advice on how they can best help their loved one through treatment. It's a way that Dr. Moran can educate the families on what's the best way to help their loved one, but they can also gain support from other people going through the same thing.
I think that's what it is. It's a big support system, and that really kind of makes it easier process, if I can even say that it could be easier. Just knowing that you're not alone, and if you're having a bad day, parents go on GroupMe and they have a way to communicate with each other, say, this is what I'm going through. And they can find support through other families that are going through very similar situations. I was almost like moved at Family Weekend when someone was telling their story and they finished and the whole room gave them a standing ovation. It was amazing at the progress that they were making, and people were recognizing the hardships people were going through and how the tough steps that they were making to help their family member with recovery.
Yeah, I think the thing that I gained from those types of scenarios are courage. Somebody that is involved with, and as a family or as an individual, the courage to take on and to do what they're doing is not easy. And it's a long road. And I guess that's the thing that I look at, is it's a lifelong type of thing. And to know that you have that type of support system that's built into your treatment starting out. Other thoughts, as far as I know that the brain plays an active part in treatment. We talked about, touched on a little bit more, but as far as expounding on a little bit more, thoughts as far as what maybe you've learned from Dr. Moran and things in that area.
I think that is one thing that he focuses on that I was not educated enough on before coming here, especially with the disease of addiction. The brain has really changed. That reward system is completely wired differently. And that's something that's really different about FCFR. Dr. Moran doesn't just focus on getting his patients sober, getting them into the recovery process. He focuses on the entire treatment from beginning to end, and getting them not only sober, but also focusing on fixing that reward system, getting them well and working towards being a member of society. And he really does recognize that it is a lifelong process, that it does change the brain, and you have to change that brain back. And I think that's so unique. I think there's so many treatment facilities that, of course, they do what they have to get the patient sober, but they forget that it's more than that. You have to completely fix what's been broken in the brain.
I think that's really important. Once you know that it's a change in the way the brain functions, I think the stigma for mental health will be done away with. Once people understand that it's a physiological process where chemicals in the brain are being are in imbalances, people will understand more that it's something treatable, and we should talk about it and we should treat it and be able to learn about it more without the shame and guilt that people usually feel when associated with a mental illness.
Yeah, that's an excellent point as far as the stigma that's associated with. And if you've just tuned in, you're listening to the Family Center for Recovery Show. I'm your host, Peter Nathan. With me today is very special guest, physician assistant students that are learning from Dr. Moran as part of the rotation. And I've got Samantha, Michelle, and Kevin in the studio. We're talking about the brain, and we're talking about now about stigma. And there's a lot of things that are going on in the news, and a lot of ways and things and the future and what it holds. And active involvement, physician assistance, and for the future, thoughts as far as maybe ways that could be advocates, help, things along those lines. What are your thoughts as far as what maybe we could do as a nation as we're involved in this epidemic, this crisis? What are your thoughts as far as maybe some things that could do?
I know one thing that I was just thinking about the other day, even, was what we can do, like simple steps going, graduating and going into this profession. And I know that we can take ownership of the fact that part of this problem is us, and just medical providers in general providing or prescribing things that may not necessarily be what the patient needs in that moment. Just because a patient comes into the emergency department and they have they're reporting some kind of pain, we're not just going to throw opiates at them and just hope that they are going to get out of there and take it and get better, when we could ourselves be feeding an addiction that could land them somewhere else down the road. And we need to definitely do our due diligence to learn as much as we can about that, learn about our patients and what their susceptibilities may be to addiction, and then, you know, avoid prescribing things that may not necessarily be what they need just for the sake of making them happy and getting them out of an emergency room or something.
And Peter, you made an interesting comment the other day about the statistic of how many people that end up as opiate addicts started out with a prescription. And I thought that that was really mind-blowing. And it really just adds to the fact that we all down here were able to see how severe this epidemic has become. And it's eye-opening, and it's also really important for us to see, because I think that this really makes you understand how important it is to be aware and to educate your patients and to make sure that you're not playing your part in this issue.
I think the education is the number one thing that we can do, not only educating healthcare providers, but also students that are going to be healthcare providers and our patients. We have to make sure that we ask the questions. What medications are they currently on? What have they been on before? Things that they're allergic to. Even those questions are as important as, do you have a history of addiction? Have you abused drugs in the past? So that if someone likes stimulants, we make sure that we don't give them an inappropriate drug that triggers them to use other drugs inappropriately.
Yeah, due diligence, I think the word that was mentioned. And if you're out there wondering, as far as a listener, the statistic that I was talking about, it's common knowledge. It's out there. It's 80% of all heroin users today started with legally prescribed painkillers. And that is a fact. That is something that nobody can really deny. And it's not the usual stigma that we all think of, skid row bums and things along those lines, as far as heroin and Harlem and all that. No, this is something that affects everybody. And today, friend, family members, I challenge anybody to come across somebody that they don't know. So we're going to be going to a short commercial message before we go. Thoughts? Anybody have a thought before we go to commercial message here?
I just think that you made a great point about the stigma, and I think we're lucky to get to come down here and see this, because it really does challenge that stigma. We are exposed to so many different people, and it does show that no one's above addiction. No one's immune to these diseases.
Yeah. So we will be going to a short commercial message, and we'll be right back. And thanks again. We appreciate you joining us and being a part of your Sunday afternoon. Thanks, and we'll be right back after a short message. Thanks again.
Like the Family Center for Recovery on Facebook to learn more about their mental health service and Addiction Resources Center. Located in Lantana, Florida, the Family Center for Recovery treats patients that most centers can't. Call anytime, 855-202-4220. We'll be right back.
At the Family Center for Recovery in Lantana, they treat little problems before they become big problems. Unfortunately, 98% of treatment centers won't treat teens because they think it's too difficult or not profitable enough. Whether your teen is struggling with behavior issues, substance abuse, or mental illness, they believe every kid deserves a chance. Contact Family Center for Recovery or go to FCFRMD.com. That's FCFRMD.com. Family Center for Recovery, before little problems become big problems.
Are you looking for a new career path? Want to make a difference in your community? Become a teacher. The American Board can help you earn a teaching certificate and a Florida teaching license in a year or less. American Board's online program allows you to set your own schedule for a price that fits your budget. Visit www.americanboard.org. That's americanboard.org for more information on how you can become a Florida teacher.
As a teacher, having a foster grandparent in my room, it enables me to have an extra set of hands.
Foster grandparents are role models, tutors, and friends to children with exceptional needs.
It's been fantastic having Grandma Freddie in our room.
It is the best feeling in the world.
I'm a best student because of her.
To learn more about how to become a foster grandparent and help children in need, call 1-800-942-2677 or visit SeniorCorps at nationalservice.gov.
This is the Family Center for Recovery Show. The Family Center for Recovery treats patients that other centers don't, including teens, expectant mothers, patients with mental health issues, or needing a medical detox. Call 855-202-4220.
Here we are. We are back. And thank you for making a part of your Sunday afternoon. Listen to the Family Center for Recovery Show. Your host, Peter Nathan, today in the studio, very special guest. I've really enjoyed having Samantha, Michelle, and Kevin, students, physician assistant students, learning from Dr. Moran. And there's so much that we've gone over and things that we kind of would like to wrap up with. So your thoughts as far as...
Well, I think the best takeaway is that at Family Center of Recovery, we're recovering for mental illness, for addiction, or those who are suffering from both mental illness and addiction. It's not just for addiction. It's not just for mental illness. So I think that's a really great environment for everybody to educate themselves. Dr. Moran has gone through every certification. He probably can get his hands on, like, addiction psychiatry, which you mentioned earlier that was only 50 have been
He's a pioneer. He's one of the first 50 through the AMA addiction psychiatrists certified. So he's triple board certified psychiatrist. So, yeah, truly is a, how should we say it, a giant in the field, so to speak. So, yes, tremendous. But also very empathetic and somebody that as far as that you've learned. And so, Samantha, your thoughts as far as takeaways and things that you've learned.
I just think that the FCFR as a whole has taught me so much. It's really opened my eyes to just so many things, the community, the importance of community, the importance of family. I've said this before, and I think that it's so true. Dr. Moreno's really thought of everything. He doesn't just treat that patient's one illness. He treats the environment they're in, the people they surround themselves with. He gets them ready to go out into the world and be successful. And it's such an eye-opening experience to get to see the whole process, and it's honestly amazing. He's just thought of every little thing, and it's cool to see that. And it's a great learning experience for us as students because we get to see everything that's important for these patients, and we're able to learn so much while we're down here. So it has been a wonderful learning experience, and that really, as students, that's amazing. We've learned a lot to take out into the world with us.
One thing that I've had as a huge takeaway, and I've heard this before, and you probably have too, but just something about the stigma with mental illness is the way that we think of it in terms of physical illness. And that if someone had some life-threatening condition or was bleeding out on a table, we wouldn't be like, oh, here's a Band-Aid, you'll be fine, get over it. So why do we do that with mental illness? Why a lot of times if someone is really suffering from something, are we like, oh, you'll just get over it, like just talk about it, journal, whatever. And I think that that's something really great about this facility is that they don't just see someone who comes in as a heroin addict, throws some kind of medication at them, hopes that they temporarily get better, and then we see them out in the parking lot right after, like shooting up heroin again. This is truly like a facility that works on improving the brain and setting these patients up for success. When they do walk out of those doors eventually, they know, like, they're confident in themselves and their own abilities to go live on their own, get a job, stay away from threatening situations, and if, God forbid, they are in one, leaving it and being able to not fall into the same problems they had before.
Another great takeaway is practice evidence-based medicine. Dr. Moran is up to date and is impressive, but he knows how each disorder should be treated. And it is an inspiration to me that no matter what field I go into, to make sure that I'm giving the best care to my patients as possible. And I think that's, even if I don't go into psychiatry or not, I can do my due diligence by knowing how to perfectly treat my patients or to the best of my ability through the evidence-based medicine.
I think that's a great point, Michelle. I think that that is one of the bigger things that we do learn here is that you have to treat the entire situation. And no matter what field we do go into, we're able to take that lesson from Dr. Moran that it's more than just one illness. It's their entire lives that you have to take into take into the picture and look at to really come up with a wholesome treatment.
Yeah, that's the thing is that as far as empathy, that's probably the one word that probably best describes, I think, Dr. Moran. 24/7 as far as, and you know, we were talking a little bit earlier, I was like going, does anybody ever sleep? I mean, it's kind of like I see laptops, iPhones, texting going on, so... Yeah, I mean, as far as around the clock, as far as
we're care, constantly messaging, and well, I think one day we didn't get a message all weekend, and someone put in our message, is anything going on, really? Uh-huh. Is nothing happening?
I woke up this morning with no GroupMe messages right. about patients or from therapists, and I was like, Michelle, did I miss something? Did something happen?
Did I turn my notifications off?
But on the flip side, sometimes we're getting messages at like 9 p.m. or later from Dr. Moran, like, hey, I read your chart. I read your progress note. And I think it would be helpful if you put a little bit more information about this. Like, he is... When does that man sleep or relax or anything? Because he's always patient-centered, always doing everything he can to not only... improve our abilities, but it's always for the best.
Everyone puts in their time. I ran into a therapist leaving FCFR at 10:30 last night. I was like, go home. They all work so hard. It's amazing. Yeah.
This has been a show that I've really, it's one of my favorite shows I've done. Listen as far as your aspirations and for the future and before we go, one last quick thought and then we'll wrap her up here. But
well, I just wanted to say thank you for letting us come on the show. Yeah. It's really nice to get to give you our input. We've been so lucky to be able to do this rotation down here, so we love getting to share what we learned with you.
It's just nice to reflect on everything I've learned. I guess I haven't sat down and thought about it.
I know. I'm definitely excited to take like all of this information back to Nashville and see what use I can, you know, use it for.
Excellent. With that, thank you so much for being a guest here in the studio, Samantha, Michelle, and Kevin.
Thank
it's
you.
Been very enlightening. I know our listeners have gained an awful, tremendous amount from your experiences and what you've learned and shared with us today. So with that, have an excellent week, and we'll be back here again next Sunday, 12 o'clock. Thanks again for listening to us.
This has been the Family Center for Recovery radio show. To learn more about the center or to send a link of the show, visit FCFRMD.com. That's FCFRMD.com. Join us next Sunday at noon for the Family Center for Recovery show.
If you had to pick a word to describe the type of tractor or utility vehicle you'd want to care for the land you love, I would bet you'd pick the word tough. Well, it's a good thing my friends at Mahindra build the toughest tractors and utility vehicles on Earth. Right now, bring your old tractor or UTV in and trade up to tough with savings on a brand new Mahindra. That's right, just trade in the other guys and pay zero down and get 0% financing for up to 60 months or up to $8,400 in real cash back and savings. Plus, Mahindra's industry-leading warranty still comes standard. So get your work done, America, with a Mahindra. Learn more about the world's number one selling tractor at MahindraUSA.com.
Take advantage of rock-bottom prices and test drive a Mahindra today at Affordable Trailer Service and Supply in Vero Beach. Or visit AffordableTrailersFL.com. That's AffordableTrailersFL.com.
Unprecedented things.
The Trump White House
is without precedent.
Scaramucci, he's out.
Concerning things.
North Korea.
Russia has to change its behavior.
The threats facing us at home and abroad.
Life-changing things.
The middle class that needs the relief.
Repeal Obamacare's oppressive mandates.
Rapidly, things are happening.
We know what's going on here.
It's important to keep.
Things happen.
The Palm Beaches news source is News Radio 1290 WJNO. News Radio 1290 WJNO. What's next?
The one on talking about building a wall
happens here.
We are going to build the wall, okay?
News Radio 1290.